Dominic McHugh, in his study, The Big Parade, lays the story out this way. On December 19th, when the Music Man finally opened at Broadway's Majestic Theater, the front page of the New York Times was a reminder that America was still actively engaged in the Cold War. Three columns reported on different aspects of important NATO talks that had just concluded in Paris. One revealed that diplomatic exchanges were to begin with the Soviet Union to clarify the positions of East and West on disarmament prior to possible formal talks. Heads of government in NATO were firmly opposed to any long, wearying discussion with the Soviet Union, the newspaper reported, but there was a common acceptance of the need for approaching them on disarmament. Despite this talk of disarmament, another column addressed the United States' attempt to equip the West German army with intermediate-range ballistic missiles and nuclear warheads, and the political issues in West Germany that were complicating this possibility. A third column in the New York Times revealed a division between Europe and the States on the approach to be taken on the Soviet Union. A formula of arm and negotiate reconciled the U.S. preoccupation with the military strengthening of the alliance and the Europeans' desire that the West should concurrently show its willingness to seek peace. Of note, the U.S. had obtained its major objective, agreement that missiles in Europe were necessary to its defense, that from the front page of the New York Times. Elsewhere on that front page, a further article described the successful firing of a new Atlas intercontinental ballistic missile from Cape Canaveral the previous night. Thus, the Music Man opened under the shadow of continued potential conflict. And despite the show's unquestionable mood of nostalgic Americana, it would not be true to say that it merely provided escapism from the political tensions in the wider world, though it did this too. As has been discussed by many, both Marion and Harold are outsiders who open the eyes of the small-town Americans to external influences and in the process unify a community that has long been fractured into different factions, for example, the bickering members of the school board. While the musical may appear reactionary and conservative on the surface, it unequivocally condemns most of these elements, such as the mayor with his call for tar and feathers, and Mrs. Shin with her attempts to censor love poetry, what she might refer to as Marion's quote-unquote dirty books. Nevertheless, the unanimous rave reviews that the show received upon its New York opening ignored the current political situation and focused their admiration on the craft with which it had been executed. For example, Frank Aston in the New York World Telegram and Sun declared it to be a knockout right from the first blare in the Majestic's orchestra pit, concluding that it deserves to run at least a decade. Of particular relevance, most of the critics focused specifically on Meredith Willson's brilliance and not just the star performances. You see, writers do not always get the spotlight in musical theater reviews. In the New York Journal American, Jim O'Connor made the following striking assessment. "What I observed especially about The Music Man is the unusual manner in which composer Meredith Willson uses the entire large cast as an orchestra. Each actor plays his or her singing or speaking part like an instrument in a melodious whole." John Chapman of the Daily News not only called it one of the few great musical comedies of the past 26 years, comparing it favorably to Guys and Dolls and the Gershwins of The I Sing, but he specifically appreciated its authorship. "A remarkable thing about The Music Man is that it is the product of one man, Meredith Willson." Walter Kerr in the Herald Tribune similarly called him Triple Threat Man Willson. Earl Hall, the major journalist from Wilson's hometown paper, the Mason City Globe Gazette, was not exaggerating when he noticed that, unusually, if anything, New York critics were more unreserved in their praise of the Wilson opus than Philadelphia's had been during the play's dry run. This warm critical reaction had the hoped-for effect on the box office. John O'Connor's article reported that on December 21st, the show had got 100% rave notices from all drama critics in yesterday's papers and went on to describe the impact. Despite the rain, the line of ticket seekers started queuing up yesterday morning, and when Treasurer Irving Morrison opened the window, there were 112 customers waiting for him. By early afternoon, the line stretched all the way up 44th Street to Schubert Alley. Last night, six additional mail order clerks were put on the job by producer Kermit Bloomgarden to handle the deluge of ticket orders. Within the next few weeks, Meredith Willson became a prominent figure in the press. On December 21st, Q Magazine ran a profile of him titled Iowa's Music Man, new musical by Meredith Willson of Mason City may be Hawkeye State's answer to Oklahoma. John Chapman wrote another profile in the Sunday News on January 12, 1958, headed The Corn Belt's Noel Coward. That from a study titled The Big Parade by Dominic McHugh. We just heard there that Frank Aston's review in the New York World Telegram and Sun wrote, "The Music Man deserves to run at least a decade." That was in 1957. Since then, there have been Broadway revivals of the show, one in 1980, one in 2000, and again in 2022, and that time it featured Hugh Jackman as Harold Hill and Sutton Foster as Marion. And it has been suggested that the 2022 revival, referred to as a box office juggernaut, was not only a massive commercial success, but that it played a major role in revitalizing Broadway attendance following the multi-month pandemic shutdowns. Now, nearly seven decades after its premiere, The Music Man continues to draw audiences, and audiences in northeastern Pennsylvania will have a chance to attend the show as Broadway in Scranton presents four performances, June 12th, 13th, and 14th, at the Scranton Cultural Center. We had a chance to speak by phone with Ali Basaliga of NAC Entertainment about the show and how she first discovered its delights.
I didn't do theater when I was little. I started with ballet and dance, and that's what got me into everything now. So I think the first time I saw The Music Man, I went to Scranton Civic Ballet growing up, and they used to have a musical summer theater camp. And in a crazy bout of irony, I was always too shy to do musical theater camp. I finally did it once when I was 11, but I had friends that did the shows. So the first time I saw a production of The Music Man was, I was probably 9 or 10. It was right before I started the camp. And I thought it was just so fun. It was honestly, looking back, and I'm sure this is not an original thing that people say, putting my finger on it, it might have been the first musical I technically ever saw in person. You know, I grew up with the movies and watching Grease and High School Musical and Hairspray and listening to music, but I feel like that production of The Music Man was actually the first live musical I ever saw. So it was just so crazy to me to watch this unfold, and especially with, for those who are familiar, as a very upbeat, iconic opening on a train, and just how these, now looking back, kids were sitting in these fake little train cars bouncing up and down, and you're just like, what am I getting into? And so I think it's perfect and apropos that, you know, that was my first show, because The Music Man's a lot of people's first shows.
It may even have been nostalgic back when it opened in 1957 about middle America and small town and community, but it certainly is something that people dream about and say, the way it used to be, that kind of thing.
The old days.
And it also seems to be a good show to run on the way up to July 4th, when we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of the U.S., and it's one of those heartfelt celebrations.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, it really is also one of the great American musicals at its core and really has that sense of the whole small town's going down to set off firecrackers for the big event. It definitely does have that, you know, idealized small town, early 1900s American energy to it. And it really is just one of the classic staples of our American theater canon, really.
How often does it come out? Is this the first time you've brought it to town?
I know, you know, there's the original Broadway production. It went to the West End a few years later. And then I believe it's been 3 Broadway revivals later. And something I can say that's really cool about this production is that most recent Broadway run in 2022 with Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster, those costumes are used in this production, which is so neat. So you're actually seeing these, you know, Tony-nominated costumes right on the Scranton stage. Now I have done my homework and I have checked. And the last time I believe we've had the Music Man was actually about 20 years ago in Scranton, which is crazy.
One of the things that is so characteristic of the music that Meredith Willson created for the Music Man is that so much of it is memorable. We can come out, of course, humming 76 trombones, but there are many others, the lovely ballads, but also just the memorable music that he created.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a lot. Not only, like you're saying, yes, not just, like, there's the ballads and there's the upbeat 76 trombones. I mean, if there's one thing I go to the theater for, it's a patter song. And I would argue, you know, Meredith Willson really was one of the first people to, you know, we think today of the rapping in Hamilton, or I'm a Stephen Sondheim gal myself. So, you know, Sondheim has had many of patter songs throughout his decades of work. But, you know, Meredith Willson back in 1957 is writing You Got Trouble, and that is moving at a mile a minute at this perfect pace.
Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help you cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to find an ironclad lead for yourself from a 3-rail billiard shot? But just as I say, it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a balk line game. I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degrade. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit. And listening to some big out-of-town Jasper, hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on a horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch, make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
This is just, I'm obviously showing where my loyalties lie with the songs and the show, but you have that. But then you have Goodnight, My Someone, which is just this very simple song that Marion sings, but it's so beautiful and just timeless. And also their duet, Till There Was You, is absolutely beautiful. Just a love song that has persisted through, again, the years, the decades. And then also there's a barbershop quartet, so you're getting those kind of songs. It's just such a fun blend of patter songs, ballads, love songs, just such staples of musical theater. And you have all of these types of songs in one show.
And it was wonderful, Allie. I just had a conversation with one of our listeners who said, I am the Music Man. And he went on to say that he had been an instructor at a regional high school for 39 years, leading the band and hoping he could have an impact on students in making music part of their lives. So how do we think about the young people and their marching bands?
I do know when they stopped, I believe they were in maybe Gary, Indiana itself. They were in a very relevant town to the show, and they had the local marching band come at the end of the show and perform, which is very, very cool.
Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, let me say it once again. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, that's the town that knew me when.
You will definitely be getting some great, great marching band music from this show, despite the art of how it's written.
The season featured The Book of Mormon, 6, Kinky Boots, The Great Chicago, the mystery play Clue, and now closing with The Music Man. When will you let us know about the 2026-2027 season?
So I'm very glad you asked. We will actually be announcing right before The Music Man. Not literally right before the show, but right now we're looking to announce on that Friday, on June 12th. So we're very close, and I can say that we are very excited, and I personally am very excited for this upcoming season. I think it's another great emblematic season of all of the best of musical theater coming to Scranton soon.
We know that these performances are held at the Scranton Cultural Center, and if people haven't attended a show there, Allie, tell them what a delight it is. People may not know that the Cultural Center has been refurbished.
It is absolutely beautiful. It really is. So especially, you know, what stands out to me specifically is the proscenium arch in the theater has not been seen for years. I mean, me growing up, coming to the venue, doing shows at the venue, seeing shows at the venue, and you had never seen that architecture behind it. And it is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it is such a beautiful historic building, and it was so exciting. You know, when I walked in when we started the season and saw the designs on the walls and the designs on the arch and just in general, you know, all these little details that were done up and refreshed, it was really exciting because obviously you go to the theater and you're seeing shows, but you know, you come to this building and you have an experience. I always see people walk into this theater and say, wow, I didn't even realize this was right here. Like, all of this is right here. And it really is. It's giving people that extra bit of magic to see these stories and shows presented in such a beautiful, beautiful structure.
And I'd still love the idea that the costumes from the 2022 revival are going to be here on this stage.
Absolutely. And also on that note, I said, you know, the first time I had seen The Music Man was my ballet studio's summer camp. But also, I mean, me as a theater goer, I've seen that. I saw Scranton Prop did it back in the day. I saw Scranton High do it. And I've never actually seen a professional production. And, you know, with a show that so many schools do and community theaters do, regional theaters do, I think just speaking to the costumes are obviously just one element, but seeing a professional production of a classic elevates it to this level. I could say, oh, I've seen it before, but I'm so excited to see a full-fledged, fully produced tour of The Music Man for the first time. So that's kind of how a show like this, we've spoken, the story, the music, the setting live on, but also just each production makes it exciting and different. And, you know, it's the first time anyone's done this version with this cast. And that kind of speaks to theater as a whole in general, that even a show might be from 1957, but it's still new and it's still fresh.
Well, tell folks then how they can make sure they don't miss it.
Absolutely. You cannot miss the Wells Fargo Wagon coming into town. If you don't get it, you'll get it. We have The Music Man coming June 12th through 14th. We have Friday at 7:30, Saturday 2 and 7:30, and Sunday 1 p.m. You can get your ticket at the Scranton Cultural Center box office and, of course, at BroadwayInScranton.com online.
Allie Basaliga speaking with us. She is with NAC Entertainment and filled us in on the upcoming tour of The Music Man. June 12th, 13th, and 14th at the Scranton Cultural Center, 420 North Washington Avenue in Scranton. And shows are Friday evening at 7:30. There are two performances on Saturday, a matinee at 2 and an evening performance at 7:30. And then Sunday the 14th, a matinee at 1. For more information on the web, BroadwayInScranton.com, BroadwayInScranton.com, or as Allie just told us, we can go to the lovely box office at the Scranton Cultural Center, BroadwayInScranton.org. That's The Music Man by Meredith Wilson, and it's Friday, June 12th at 7:30, Saturday the 13th at 2 and 7:30, and Sunday the 14th at 1. BroadwayInScranton.com.